3, 2, 1.
It's the Jonathan and Sharon podcast.
Kia ora, everybody. Welcome along to the afternoon show. You're with Sharon, and this week I am on the hunt for my new co-host, because at the end of the year, Jono and Ben have had this amazing opportunity to get back on your TV again, so they are leaving at the end of this year, but I need to find somebody to do this afternoon show with me. And what's the point in doing it behind a closed door when you guys are the ones that have to listen to this person every day? So that's why we're doing Quit Your Day Job. You're helping me find a new co-host. Heck, you could be the new co-host. If you want to apply, go to theedge.co.nz. But if not, if you just want to have an opinion, strap yourselves in and text your feedback to 3343 and get ready to meet today's person.
The Edges, Quit Your Day Job.
I've been working at Pack and Save since I was 18 and I've worked in 3 different departments, so I know my way around people.
Shay.
Your live audition starts in 3, 2, 1.
We have flown her up all the way from Napier. We've been out to lunch today. We've been gasbagging off here. Shay, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
How's it feeling? Because you've never been to the Edge studio before. Was it a letdown or was it, what is it like?
It's much cooler. It's so much cooler than I expected. I thought it, you know, obviously it's going to be the Edge. It's going to look cool, but I didn't expect like the Edge to be like on the walls.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Giant pink wall out there.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Well, we're so stoked to have you here. Why do you reckon that you're going to be the best person to replace John and Ben?
Because, you know, as they are a duo, we could be a dynamic duo too, just the two of us.
Yeah, I'm all about it. And I was saying this to Aisha and to Taylor on Monday as well. I am down to try out the girl combo as well.
Yeah, of course.
I'm real stoked to have you here. With Rise, you're with Sharon, and at the end of the year, Jono and Ben are leaving, so I'm on the hunt with your help to find my new co-host. Now, if you think you could be the person, theedge.co.nz, I've got someone who does think that she could replace Jono and Ben.
She does.
From Napier, usually works at Pack and Save. Shay is here. Woo! Now, Shay, I actually understand that everyone at Pack and Save in Napier, they've even flicked over the PA system at Pack and Save so everyone can hear you today.
Basically.
This is exciting. Do you want to do a shout out to all your workmates?
I want to say hello to everyone at Napier City Pack and Save.
Woo! What we're going to do, Shay, is we want to get to know you a little bit more.
Yep.
And so we have made some little sentences for you to just, you know, finish off. So it'll start off, you give your answer, and then we'll move along so that all of our listener pals can get to know you a wee bit better. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's do this. Let's meet Shay, everyone.
My dream is to quit my day job and become Sharon's co-host, but my normal day job is
grocery assistant.
When I'm listening to music, you'll usually find me listening to
Baby No Money.
Ooh!
The best day of my life was
meeting K-pop group 17.
Wow, that's good. Where did you meet them?
I met them at a concert.
Which concert?
They had a concert here about 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
And what were they like?
They were so kind, so lovely.
So what language do they speak? They speak Korean?
Korean.
And so can you speak Korean?
I can say hello.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but they do have 2 members that do speak English because they're from the States.
Oh, right. Yeah. Awesome. That's really cool.
The scariest thing that ever happened to me was
waking up during surgery.
What the hell, Shay?
Yep.
Okay, so explain this to us. How did you wake up during surgery?
Basically, what happened was I wasn't gassed up enough and my eyes opened and I was wide awake.
Hot. What sort of surgery were you getting?
I was getting my wisdom teeth taken out.
So do they keep taking the tooth out?
They took half of it out.
So how can they take half out? Like they cut it in half?
Cut it in half because I was starting to, you know, come through a bit more.
So when you were like seeing it, because I've seen Leanne, the same to Leanne on Shorten Street.
Yeah.
What are all the people in the surgery doing? Are they freaking out or are they like, oh God?
They're freaking out. They're being like, calm down, calm down. It's okay. It's okay. When you can tell that they're freaking out, then you start freaking out as well.
I bet. And the last thing you want to hear is like, calm down, calm down. This happens all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
They need to fire that anaesthetist.
If I was going to create a competition on the Edge, it would be
create your dream bedroom.
Ooh, what would be in your dream bedroom?
My dream bedroom would be one of those like canopy beds.
Oh, I feel like every girl wants those, eh?
They look so amazing. And plus, it's really aesthetic, especially if you have like such a nice, like calming coloured room.
Mm. Anything else that you'd add in there?
I would add a giant fake gold lion.
A fake gold lion?
Yep.
Shivers. That's going to be an absolute nightmare in a bloody earthquake, Shay. But that's a good, you'd have to attach it to the wall.
Oh, definitely.
That's great.
Time to wrap this up with my famous catchphrase.
What a crack up.
So that's your go-to?
Yeah, I say that like 50,000 times a day.
Well, that's not going to get annoying. Shay, your group chat's going off with your friends right now.
It is.
Are they proud of you?
They're proud of me. They're listening in.
Oh, you're going to have to give them a shout out then, I guess.
Want to say hello to the Kiwi Bits group chat, Stan Luna.
To the what Kiwi Bits?
Kiwi Bits.
What does this mean? Do I ever want to know at 3:19 in the afternoon what Kiwi Bits means?
Kiwi Bits stands for like Kiwi Orbit. So Orbits are Luna fans and Luna is a K-pop group.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I see. I'm with you. You're in one of those fandoms.
I am one of those fandoms.
That is so good. Well, you were telling us a story before the show. We went out for brunch and brunch is my favourite meal of the day. And you were telling us about how you almost died in your place of work because normally you're working in the grocery section of Pack and Save.
Yes.
What the heck happened, Shay?
So basically, this was when I first started at Pack and Save. This is when I was in produce. And so I was told to go out back and get some strawberries and grapes because it was Christmas time. You know, everyone needs those.
Yep.
And I'm 5'5", not the tallest person in the world. And they were at the top of the racking, so I needed to get my short self up to the top to get them.
What? They don't have a footstool?
They do have a footstool, and that is exactly what's part of the story.
Oh, God.
Basically, I got onto the footstool. I was trying to climb my way up to get to the top. I cut half of the plastic wrapping around it. The footstool slid out from underneath me, went down, tumbled down, had stuff fall on me, went straight into the ground, concussed myself.
Bad enough as it seems.
Yep, got a concussion and I later realised that the skin from my fingers had come off with the wrapping of the wiring.
No.
Yep, and I also bruised my hip.
Oh my God. So you got flattened by a whole lot of grapes and strawberries.
Yeah.
So you're basically like making wine on top of you out the back of Pack and Save.
Yep.
This is insane. So what happened next? Like, did somebody hear the racket or were you just lying there being like, we've had an incident, guys?
No, I actually screamed and luckily the freezer door was already open. So one of my coworkers actually heard me and she came in. She was like, oh my goodness. And so everyone came out, gave me a jacket to make sure that I was warm. And there was already a paramedic on the scene for a different incident that happened with a customer that day.
Shut up.
Yep.
No
so
way.
So I was lucky enough to have a paramedic on site and so I was dragged off to the hospital.
That is, because the thing about this, I just cannot believe, like, imagine if the chiller door had shut. You would be like one of those horror movies where somebody's stuck in the fridge just freezing until somebody finds them like a ham.
Yeah, basically.
This is terrible. So, okay, so you get to the hospital. Your mum's the boss of this this section of the Pack and Save as well, isn't she?
My mum is the grocery manager, but, like, since she's my mum, she comes down as well.
Yeah, and what happens when mum gets to the hospital? She must have been so worried about you.
Yeah, she came with me to the hospital. She was worried, and then she's like, oh, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
This is a thing that mums say, though, eh? Like, your mums will be like, dust it off, mate. Like, I remember my sister fell off.
Oh, you'll be all right.
My sister fell off this, like, massive slide down in New Brighton in Christchurch. It's huge. It's like 2-3 metres high. She falls off it and she breaks her collarbone, but my sister's quite whingy. So they didn't believe that because it wasn't obvious she'd broken it. And it wasn't until the next day when my sister was still whinging. They were like, oh, for goodness sake. And she wakes up and it's all bruised. They're like, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. She had broken her collarbone. It's one of those things, mums just do it, eh? They'll be like, you'll be fine, you'll be fine, but there's actually something wrong with you.
Yep.
So you were lucky you got out of hospital after how long?
It was a couple of hours. They fixed up my fingers, made sure that I wasn't, like, you know, too out of it to...
De-skinned.
Yeah, was taken home and I was told to not go to sleep just in case I did not wake up because...
Oh, my.
Yeah,
but mum's like, you'll be fine, babes.
Yeah, mum's like, oh, you'll be okay, you'll be fine. And then she went back to work.
Oh my God, she didn't even stay with you.
No, she told my nan to look after me. She's like, oh, just look after her, she'll be all right.
Oh, well, 0800 The Edge, you'll text us to 3343 right now. What happened when your mum said, don't worry, you'll be fine? Carissa, what happened?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I was just telling the guy that when I was 8 years old, I went on a school trip, a school camp, and we did rock wall climbing. And then something happened to the harnesses, so it was only whoever wanted to do it without a harness that could do it. And my teacher made all of us do it, and I'm scared of heights. And I, like, literally cried to her that I didn't want to do it, but she was like, you got to participate, blah, blah, blah. So she called my mum, and my mum's like, no, make her do it. She'll be okay.
Oh, my gosh. So mum's just like, face your fear, Carissa. Get up there, girl.
Yeah. And then so I did it thinking I was cool, and then I like made it to the top, and everyone was cheering for me, and they were like, yay. And then I got to the top, and I like went to go like lift both hands up to like celebrate with them, but forgetting that I didn't have harness on.
Oh no.
And then I fell straight flat, straight onto the floor. I think it was like a 4 meter drop. And I ended up in the hospital for 2 nights. I had like a big gash on my in the back of my neck. Because I, like, landed on some gravel.
Oh, my God. Okay, Carissa, I don't know if we're going to be able to beat that story. That is amazing. But, Natasha, when did your mum say, don't worry about it, you'll be fine?
It actually wasn't me.
Oh, no, were you the mum?
No, I'm the auntie. But yesterday my nephew got held up at work by, with a shotgun and a crowbar, two guys. And they asked him to empty the tools and cigarettes. And when he rang to tell his mum, she said, you'll be right.
Oh, my God. He would have been, like, completely traumatised. Yep. Your mum's like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, my sister. So she actually sent me the footage that's on TV because they were actually after these guys.
Yeah.
And I'm beside myself and I'm the auntie.
This is crazy. See, mums just, they take it easy when it's their own kid, don't they? And Peter, what about you?
I got tackled really bad in like a school game of rugby, and I hurt my knee really bad, and got the school to call mum, and she was like, "You'll be fine." So she made me like walk home. Got home, my like knee was the size of like a basketball. She was like, "You'll be fine. Put some ice on it." Just put some ice on it. I was like in like such bad pain. So she took me to the doctors a bit after that. I'm still walking around on it. And it turned out that I had shattered my knee bone into like 4 pieces. I'd been walking around on it like all day.
How the heck? Were you walking around on that, Peter?
I don't know. We went to, because we had to go and get an x-ray, and after we were waiting in the waiting room, and they came out with a wheelchair, and they were like, do you want this? And I was like, no, I'm fine. And they were like, no, we think you need this.
Oh, what a trooper.
You are an absolute trooper, Peter. Thank you so much. Hey, hold the line. We're going to hook you up with a prize, all right?
Great, thank you.
Wow, okay. I thought that your story was bad, Shay, but there were some way worse ones out there. So you got off lucky.
Oh, definitely. Man.
Now, Shay, you're normally at Pack and Save in Napier, but this afternoon you're here with us.
Yep.
How's it going so far?
It's going pretty great.
All right. Well, we are going to put you to the test right now because one of the things that you're going to have to do around here is do an interview. Mm-hmm. But the other thing you're going to have to do is win over the King of the Edge, Dominic Harvey. So what we're going to do right now, Shay, is we're going to give you 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
To interview Dominic Harvey.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Dom, are you ready?
Yeah, 2 minutes. But if I get bored, I'm going to hang up.
Oh, don't be so mean. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
First off, I want to ask how your day is.
That's a shit question. It's going well, though.
Next. Awesome. Thanks for that. I was just wondering if you had any advice to give someone, not only me, but others who are applying for the job at The Edge, what is something that you'd want to see someone do for their life at The Edge?
Probably clean my locker out for me.
That could be doable.
Dominic.
Okay, seriously. Probably just, you're going to be working with Sharon. She's been there a while. Just don't be as funny as Sharon.
Is that what Randall and Meg have to do?
Oh, burn!
What's your girlfriend's name?
Babe.
That is an excellent answer.
The way this interview is going, it might be Shay.
Oh, look out.
You have been here a long time, so have you actually stolen anything from The Edge? Don't worry, no one will know, only everyone in New Zealand.
Well, I mean, there's a standard thing that everyone's stolen, I think, like concert tickets and, you know, bits and pieces. But I think the biggest thing I've stolen over the years is probably Sharon's heart.
Oh, get out of here. I'm glad that you said heart because I was like, where is he going to go with this? This could be really bad. But you're doing really well, Shay. When you think Dominic Harvey, what's the first question that comes to mind?
I think the first thing when it comes to Dominic Harvey would be, how has it been like being able to survive on air for so long and not being able to like get bored of it? It's just a genuine question because I know a lot of people can end up, you know, not feeling their jobs in the end, but this seems like a really amazing job to be in. So
yeah, all right. You know. First of all, that sounded really rude.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean for it to be like that.
I loved it.
Yeah. It's like, why don't you just ask me what it was like when the dinosaurs were out there? No, listen, I've been at the edge the longest so far, and Sharon is right behind me, and I think she would. Oh, that's the gong.
It's the gong.
Right,
oh my God, were you about to give me a compliment and now I'm going to miss out on it?
Yeah, no, Sharon, I think you'll back me up and echo what I say when it's an amazing place to work, and that's why the staff turnover is not very high and why jobs don't come up very often, because it's just a really cool vibe and really cool people. And, you know, if you don't fit in at the edge, you know, you get sort of chewed up and spat out fairly quickly. But Shay, I reckon you'll be fine.
Oh, awesome. That is thank amazing. You so much. Hey, Don, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Get out there, go for a run, do whatever the things you do outside of work.
I'm just going to look Shay up on Instagram now and see who I've been talking to.
Oh, get out of here, you creep. All right.
The Edges, quit your day job.
My name's Sam Smith. Google me. I've got 4 Grammys and an Oscar. Don't image search that, by the way. Just do the normal, like, Google search.
Sam.
Your live audition starts in 3, 2, 1.
That's right, it's the Quit Your Day Job live auditions, because at the end of the year, my 2 best friends, Jono and Ben, are abandoning me. They are off to do bigger and better things without me, leaving me behind by myself, which means I need to find a new best friend. And I want you to help me by telling me who you think is awesome, who you like, who you don't like, what you're looking for. Text through your feedback to 3343, or you can apply to Quit Your Day Job yourself on theedge.co.nz. And that is exactly what dentist turned comedian turned wannabe radio host Sam Smith has done. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you so much. This is awesome. You guys are so welcoming. I love it.
I've mainly just got you in here because I need some cavities. Wait, I will take that out.
Yeah, you don't want to
wear it like
that.
The reason I've got you here is I want you to floss my teeth for me because I'm terrible
That's
at flossing.
Also weird to do, but I will teach you how to floss. It's very easy. I taught Jono how to floss back in the day.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
he does it now. He's legit.
I've known Sam because Sam works behind the scenes on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, yeah, I do the audience warm-up. I look after the crowd, make them laugh and stuff, get them ready, get them all hyped up, and then I leave and then you come in and take all my glory.
I know, that's what we do. And the thing is that when Jono and Ben announced they were leaving, Sam was one of the first people that emailed me. But in the email, he didn't say he wanted to apply for their job. And we were going through all of the entries. Sam has still not told me that he's gone for the job. And then Ryan, the boss, says, these are the people that I want to try on air. And I was like, okay. And then we get to Sam and I'm like, oh my God. He's like, do you know Sam? And I said, yes, I do know Sam. He works with me on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
And we had like a horrendously awkward moment.
It was pretty bad, yeah.
In front of a room of people. Yeah, that
Henwood
I have,
was there.
I've felt so bad about it ever since. So
we had these meetings every week where we go through the script of the show and you read it out. We make sure all the words are sounding all nice and things. And you very kindly get the snacks for us during that.
Yes,
meeting.
Because there's a treats cupboard backstage at Dancing with the Stars, and it's just like all the treats for all the people backstage if you want a little chocolate or a little bit of fruit or whatever. So I always go and I take my dressing gown because I've just had a spray tan and yeah. I fill my pockets full of like treat sized chocolate bars.
You get crunchy bars for me because I love crunchy bars.
They're your favourite. And I get lollies and chippies, all that sort of stuff, and I walk in like Santa and I make it rain on people. I'm like, what do you want, crunchy bar? And for 6 weeks of the first season that we worked together, I throw the snacks to people.
You do.
And every week Sam would not catch the snack and I would rip Sam out and be like, Sam, you're catching is terrible. Like, you haven't caught one. And I was just ragging on him, and everyone in the room is looking at me like, she is insane.
You're being mean right now.
And then Sam goes, you know that I'm legally blind, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean? And I'm like, shut up, Sam. I thought he was doing a gag.
Some hilarious joke about pretending to be blind that people do. But yeah, Sharon had been pelting me in the face with crunchy bars for 6 weeks.
And it was true.
Yeah. Although, I disagree, because I think at that very first meeting, when we first met for the first time, we talked about the fact like, oh, we won't print off a script for Sam because he can't read them. We're going to do everything. And I feel like you were there.
No, I definitely did not know, because everyone I couldn't figure out why everyone kept laughing. And then I remember afterwards saying to Hayley, who is our boss on the show, I was like, why didn't nobody tell me that Sam was blind? Because I've been throwing chocolate at him. Yeah. And she was laughing. She was like, I wondered, I thought you were doing a gag. And I wasn't doing a gag. I just genuinely thought that you had terrible hand-eye coordination.
So what I want to know then is, why did you keep doing it for the rest of the run of the show? Because you did it all to me this year as well. And I was on the show last year when this happened. You did it this year as well, Sharon. I feel like you,
because I keep forgetting.
How do you forget that someone is blind?
Well, I don't know. Steal? Because you don't have like a cane or anything. Okay. Like I can't tell.
I do have a cane. I just keep it at home. I don't use it. Okay. I'll bring it in next
time.
Can
you bring it to work? So I remember. No, because I just.
Just for you.
I don't think of it. But then I feel like I started doing it just as a joke. Just because I thought it was funny, but it wasn't.
So if anyone's blind, watch out for Sharon because she will pelt you with things.
Yeah, I'm an absolute savage.
She'll get you plumb in the face with a crunchy bar.
Today, I've got Sam Smith, not the singer, but the comedian joining me.
Can I just say I'm also a really good singer?
Prove it.
La, 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 la. Was that all right?
No, that was terrible. Oh. You didn't even try. You didn't even try, Sam. Well, what we're going to do right now is, because one aspect of the job working at The Edge is you have to be able to interview people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to set you a two-minute challenge right now.
Fantastic.
To interview one of my friends. He's got a new book coming out because I know that she'll tell me whether or not she thinks you're good or not.
Okay.
So are you ready?
I am ready.
So in the studio right now, she was the head judge on Dancing with the Stars. We've got Camilla Sacadellera.
Yeah, hi guys.
Camilla, so good to have you back in New Zealand.
So nice to be home.
Home with the rabbit ears. Because you were amazing on Dancing with the Stars. I love working with you. But you've got an incredible now you don't dance anymore professionally. You've moved into this whole other arena and you've got a new book out which is called
It's Not You, It's Me.
Yeah, and that's what I said to Sam. So It's Not You, It's Me is a new book that Camilla has brought out. And Sam, I'm going to give you a two-minute timer to interview Camilla all about her new book.
What's starting right now?
Starting right now.
Oh my gosh, we're going. Camilla, hi, how are you?
Hi, good to see you again.
Right back.
You knew the other book, don't you?
That's right.
Yeah.
Camilla, my job on Dancing with the Stars is I do the warm-up, and mm-hmm. so my job is to give out your old books to other people in the show.
Yeah.
So Strictly Inspirational and Reinvent Me,
good
both
job.
Wonderful books.
Thank you.
How does this book differ from those other books?
Well, I think we dive deeper into this one.
That's
into
good to hear.
We dive deeper into ourselves. So it's basically the whole kind of premise of the book is how to heal your relationship with yourself and in theory then others too.
That's
so
great.
We kind of live in a blame culture, right? Where everybody want to blame everybody else for their stuff.
Yep, that's
but,
right.
You know, what we can do actually sometimes is just look at ourselves and think, what is it that's happening here in this relationship? Why is it going wrong? And what could I take responsibility for?
That's great. And is this the kind of book that will, because when you say it's not you, it's me, that's exactly what you say when you break up with people.
Yeah.
Will this help me get out of relationships?
Yes. So, you know, I think most people have heard that sentence once in their life at least and been like,
yep.
Yeah, right, yeah. And that's kind of why I mentioned it in there, because I just think those are the times where you find yourself dumped, right, and you're heartbroken or whatever, but what are you going to do about it? You can sit and cry about it for the next year, but you can also say, what is it here that I can actually take responsibility of? And so it goes into sort of four vital parts, which is self-awareness, self-acceptance, self-love, and self-care, because really, self-love is key, and self-care in situations like that where you're heartbroken.
That is fantastic. Also, if you're crying after breaking up with someone for a year, like, just move on, like, go find someone
else. But oh my God, a year is a long time.
A year is a long time to be, dwelling on it. You should get over it quicker than that.
Oh my God. No, if you're proper heartbroken, it can take longer than that. I see clients, you know, in LA, I have a life coaching and hypnosis business, so I know how long it can take.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay, well, I want to quickly talk about a couple of things because... what?
2 minutes is up.
Was that 2 minutes?
Sam Smith, that was your first interview ever on The Edge. Camilla Sacadellera, what do you think? How did he go?
Do you know what? I really liked it because you made me feel very relaxed and comfortable, and you are always so friendly and engaging, so I appreciate that.
Oh,
thank
you. Camilla, you are wonderful. Thank you very much. Do you know, you have a catchphrase that I use every day.
What is it?
I'm not even sure if you know it.
What is that?
It was from an episode of Dancing with the Stars where you described someone's dance as being quality.
Wasn't it epic?
You say epic, but it's the quality that I love.
Quality.
And I legitimately say it every day. Could you please just say that my interview was quality, please?
It was quality.
No, you got to say quality.
Quality!
Yay!
You do it, Camilla. Come on, we can have the real
say
thing.
It like that.
Oh, this is awkward now.
You what?
I don't say it like that, I don't think, do I?
That's
God.
Exactly how you say it.
Quality!
Yay!
I was like, oh God, don't get it first. We'll walk out. That'll be so bad. Well, Camilla, it's so good to have you back in New Zealand. And do go and get a copy of Camilla's book. It's called It's Not You, It's Me. Beautiful cover, by the way. Very eye-catching with the bright pink on it.
Thank you.
But Camilla has such an amazing way with words, and she always can make any situation feel better, and that's exactly what you can get in this book. So make sure you go and pick up a copy of it.
She was the person who made David Seymour not feel so bad about his terrible dancing. She is a wonderful person to hang out with.
Very, very wonderful. It's Not You, It's Me. Out now. Go get amongst it. Camilla Sacadella, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've purchased some pretty bizarre things in your time.
I see. I don't think this is bizarre. I have never hit a pinata in my life, so I bought a pinata. You know, just
to check it off your bucket list?
Yep, just to give it a try. I put some candy in it, and then I didn't really have an opportunity to do it myself, so I just stored it in my garage for a bit. But then my neighbour came over, and she was having a birthday party for her daughter, and I said, I've got the perfect thing. I've got this pinata you can use. And she was like, yeah, aww, amazing. So I went out into the garden. I held it up for all the kids while they hit it open. They smashed it, two dead mice fell out. I know.
No.
And I was in this weird situation because I had a bunch of kids there who I thought, man, if they see this, they're going to freak out.
Yeah, well, I would freak out if I was there and I saw two mouse carcasses on the ground.
And so I did this. I thought quickly about this. I grabbed both mice in both hands and chucked them over the fence.
Get rid
of them. No, none of the kids saw him. I saved the day. But then one of the other parents tried to get me in trouble. They were like, hey, what did you just throw some of that candy away? And I was like, yeah, I bloody hate cherry ripes. And they were like, you're a hero.
So you were trying to say that you were getting rid of, like, what some people say is the worst chocolate ever, yep, but you were actually getting rid of dead animals.
I was saving the day for these children, and I've never told anyone about that until this moment right today.
Why did you not just say that it was the dead mice? Because then the parents would all be like, good on you. Because what if that, like, boomer had turned around and said, excuse me, I quite enjoy a cherry ripe.
Yeah. Well, I would correct them and say that you're wrong. Cherry ripes are disgusting.
What? But are you not a cherry riper?
No way.
Oh, see, I think they're Turkish underrated. Guy, I love cherry ripes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Turkish delight guy, and I know that.
Oh, no, that's controversial.
Yeah. Are you a Turkish delight person?
I like them if they're not cold.
When they're cold?
No, if they're not cold, if they haven't been in the fridge.
Who puts Turkish delight in the fridge?
Well, because people keep their, like, kept box of favourites in the fridge.
No one does that.
Yes, they do. Do you not keep chocolate in the fridge?
No. Keep it in the cupboard. Never.
In the cupboard?
Yeah. Where you keep chocolate, on the chocolate shelf.
No, you've got to keep it in what do you mean chocolate shelf?
The shelf that you keep the chocolate on, do you not have that?
No, I have a chocolate shelf in the fridge. It's like where the eggs normally are, but I stack my chocolate in there.
That's where the eggs go.
Yeah, no, and the chocolate.
See, I think you're wrong.
So, but what if you, over summer, especially in Auckland, and it gets so, like, muggy and gross, when you would go and get some, it would just be mush.
No, it's not. Chocolate doesn't melt at the degrees we get to in this world.
Oh, my God,
we
don't live it does. In 50 have you ever degree bought, heat. No, but have you ever bought a chocolate bar from a dairy that's been there for ages, it's hot, and then you buy it, and it tastes like a musty old, like, melted piece of crap?
I have literally never had that happen to me. I feel what? Like you... When are you buying chocolate from different places, Sharon?
No, but you know that there's, like, if you get the chocolate and it's, like, got the white stuff around it.
Excuse me, guys, just going to have to come in here, Producer Dan. I'm going to have to decide this. Once the chocolate's opened, then it's in the fridge.
Thank you, Producer Dan!
But once... If you've just brought the chocolate from the supermarket, keep it in the pantry.
See, my thing would be that I always eat a whole block of chocolate in one go because that minimises the contact time with the chocolate on your teeth. So
you know
what?
I can tell that about you.
Yeah.
You are that guy because you love munching chocolate.
I love munching chocolate.
Why you don't make it? Okay, thank you, Sam.
You made that weird.
I did not make that weird. You. Okay, Sam Smith, shush.
After a legendary All Black career, Kieran Reid, he's retired and is, from All Black career. He's going off to Japan, making some sweet coin over there, I'm sure.
Eating some sushi.
Yeah, having a fun time. Going to Tokyo Disney Sea, that's a great time. The robot restaurant,
Watching their quirky game shows.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff you can do in Japan.
Being taller than the others.
He's released a brand new book. It's out now. It's called Kieran Reid Straight 8. He joins us on the phone right now. How's it going, Kieran?
Hey, guys. Very good, thanks. How are you?
Well, welcome. Welcome to the show, Kieran. What is Kieran Reid doing right now at this moment?
Right now, he's sitting on his couch just looking out at the thunderstorm that's going through. Golf ball-sized hail, but it hasn't quite hit us yet.
I know, we all want to see, like, it's a dream of mine to see golf ball-sized hail, but not the damage that comes along with it, too.
No, I don't think I'll be running out trying to catch them anyway.
Now, I was surprised that the book focused, you know, right up to date. It had all about the semi-final as well. Were you after the game back in your hotel room typing away, or how's that work?
I was pretty lucky. I got Sumo Stevenson.
Yeah, Scotty Stevenson, of course, who commentated the rugby for Spark Sport.
Wrote it for me, alongside me, so he did all that work, which was great. So, but yeah, as you said, You know, he was ringing me during the World Cup and getting all the info and making sure it stayed up to date. So
was he like in the changing rooms after the loss going, okay, mate, so how are you feeling about this? I'll just type this down.
Nah, not quite that abrupt, but he certainly made sure he got me when I was probably feeling all those emotions, you know, that were going through my head. So, you know, it's pretty real, the stuff that's down on the pages, which I guess makes it a pretty good read.
Because, I mean, you know, something like that, I'm sure you've been asked this millions of times, disappointing for you, no doubt. But now, are you over it? You're like, that happened, move on.
Yeah, basically I am, you know. Like, yeah, certainly there's going to be a bit of hurt and feelings that are going to be attributed to that over a number of years, I guess. But, you know, still got a beautiful family and you wake up and the sun comes up. So
that's the thing. It's moments like those that you're like, yeah, it's disappointing, but it puts everything else in perspective,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Wasn't there a little bit of a story after the game where you got pictures from your daughters, you know, and kind of put things into perspective?
Yeah, 100%. Like, you guys will know. Eh? Like, yeah, got back from the game and there's cards there for my birthday and, you know, and the little fellas asking me how happy I was and all that, you know, and it's just all perspective stuff. And, you know, we did our best for our country and it is a game of rugby in the end, although we do care about it. You know, there's different things in life that certainly make you happy as well.
You did right, and I can sympathise with you. When our TV show got cancelled, I got home and all my shit was on the driveway.
Cards with the family saying, please leave.
We have no use for you now.
Yeah, as captain, you know, of the All Blacks, do you get special perks? You get your own room or anything like that?
Yeah, you get your own room. Yeah, it's, you know, which is obviously a pretty good big perk for me, being a bit older, you know, and kids, you don't really want to be sharing a room. Some of those guys are quite young, eh? The 20-year-olds and things. A few different habits, you know, the Fortnite that they play, stay up and play PlayStation and stuff. I just want to get to bed, you know. So,
Kieran's like, you crazy kids. What are you doing?
Turn it down with your TikTok.
Yeah, I know all that stuff.
Yeah. I've got Kieran Weed with us, former All Black captain. His new book out now, Straight Eight. But one thing that does, I don't know if this is a rumour or not, that after every game, the All Blacks have to clean up the changing room.
Yeah, hey, look, it's just what it is. It's, you know, we've been in there, we're in someone else's property and venue, and no matter where we are, we make sure that we do that.
What's the grossest thing you found while cleaning up a rugby changing room?
Whose undies are on the ground at the end of the game?
The undies, yeah. Yeah, definitely one of the props.
There'll be old pussy plasters and
all sorts of stuff in there, eh?
The undies are probably the worst thing, yeah.
Do you guys just get in there and just throw your undies off and never worry about them again?
I guess you'd have an extra pair to change into, right?
How much free All Black clothing have you been given over the years? And what do you do with it all?
Yeah, do you get a new jersey each game? I guess you do, right?
Yeah, we do. So I hazard to guess, you know, how much kit has been, free Adidas kit has been sent my way over the years. I kind of have a little revolving kind of shop in my garage. If anyone kind of comes over remotely my size, I just send them in there and they help themselves. And when it gets to a certain point and there's only so much left, my wife tells me to take it down to, I don't know, one of the thrift shops or the Sally's or something and pass it off there.
So there's some homeless guy running around in Kieran Reid's number 8 World Cup jersey.
Yeah, maybe not the jerseys.
Huff and glue, bloody having a good time.
Track suits and all that stuff.
That's awesome.
There, so, yeah, it's good.
Now, Kieran, of course, your book is called A Straight Eight, but yeah, we're disappointed as lovers of puns. You could have gone with a Kieran Reid pun. So you've got a great read or a good read, depending on how good you think it is, so that's easy. Or you wouldn't read about it, which is quite clever because you would read about it.
Yep, it's solid.
Yeah. You're saying it's solid, but we know the tone of your voice is suggesting the opposite.
We've got a few more to go. We're in the trenches. Yeah.
Kieran, read all about it.
Yep, okay.
Okay. Okay, any weight loss in the book? Because if so, Kieran, light reading would be quite good.
I like that one. Yeah.
Emotional, read them and weep.
Read them and weep, yeah.
How about tender love and Kieran?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Listen, mate, you sound more disappointed now than when you lost the bloody semi.
This is the thing that really upset him.
Well, you put me for a horrific
30
seconds
of radio. That's what we do. Kieran, always good to catch up, mate. I hope the book goes well. It looks like a bloody good read to use your pun again. And get it in all good bookstores and a few crappers, I'm sure, as well. Kieran Reid's Straight Eight is the name of the book.
Okay, cheers, guys.
Thanks, Kieran. Cheers, mate.
Now, 0800 The Edge, what did you watch that maybe in hindsight you wish you hadn't? For me, it was a documentary that Marty, our music guy, told me to, well, he was talking about.
Oh, Marty, I love Marty. Love
that's great, yeah. You know.
We had dinner with Marty the other night.
Yeah, and he had like a salad burger. And we're like, oh, are you vegetarian? He's like, oh,
we're
no.
Like, you pussy?
No,
that's what Ben was like. Hey, pussy.
No, I didn't.
Pussy, why are you eating salad, pussy?
No, I didn't. I was
that's what you said.
No, we just said, are you vegetarian? He said, oh, no.
You know, I always shove that salad in your face. No. That's what you said.
No, I didn't. I was just, I said, are you vegetarian, Tomati? And he said, well, no.
Pussy. Hey, pussy, are you vegetarian? No, that's what you said.
I did not.
Yeah, it's just reenacting.
I did not.
If you're going to retell a story, mate.
No, this is not true. You're putting words in my mouth. And he's putting salad in his mouth, the pussy. No, I'm kidding. So he said, no, I'm not. But I watched a documentary on Netflix called The Game Changers, and now I'm questioning whether I should eat meat.
Oh, I hate this sort of stuff. Is it like not about the ethical treatment of animals?
No, it's basically about what meat does to your body versus what plants do to your body in a plant-based diet.
Mm.
Oh, I mean, this guy's not a doctor. He's a UFC fighter. So, I mean, you know, like, you got to take what he says with a grain of salt. But
I mean, he's been punched in the head multiple times. But brain damage.
Like, all your protein originates from plants. That's one thing. You know, meat eaters get half their protein, more than half their protein from actually plants, not the meat. And the protein you get from meat.
So you're saying the meat industry has been lying to us for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Because of what they eat, the grass of the animals, that's where you're getting protein, a lot of your protein from, not from the actual meat, according to this
documentary. Why is the meat industry lying to us?
I don't know.
To make a profit?
I guess so. I guess that's what they want you to do,
right?
Saying
those We Love to Boogie commercials have been a lie.
Well, yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I don't know.
I've been loving to boogie.
No, I don't know if they've been a lie. I'm just saying that, yeah, maybe you don't need it.
Guys, I'm just interrupting so I can get my bag. But have I been not doing a show with you for 3 days and Ben's become a preachy vegan?
Oh, he's about to.
It sounds like you've become one of those vegans.
He's wearing those parachute pants, the tie-dye parachute pants.
No, is your t-shirt made of hemp?
Yes, but I'm just questioning, you know.
Have you started growing out your leg hair again?
Yeah, he doesn't use deodorant now.
Are you rubbing a crystal under your arm instead of deodorant?
Look, I don't know how I feel about this document. After watching this now, I turned off halfway through. I'm like, me and meat are done.
Oh, well, if anyone...
So weird, because that's where I'm sucking a sausage earlier. Like, you're still clearly...
Yeah, but that was how I got my job. Oh,
No, I wasn't talking like that. Disgusting.
It sounded like you were, mate. Yeah. You go back to auditioning for
me. No, my auditions. I don't want to be here to get turned over to sun-fed meat.
Yeah, all right.
Anyway, grab yourself a salad on the way out, eh?
Now, Ben, if anyone in the world doesn't need to stop eating meat and losing weight, it's you. Because in about a month, I'm going to be doing a radio show with a starving orphan. I feel like I'd need to donate $30 a month to you.
Because I'm questioning it now.
Don't do it.
Okay. Because I do enjoy the barbecue. Anyway.
You shouldn't have watched it. You should not have watched it.
I had to stop it. I had to stop it because I'm like, maybe I'm done with meat and maybe I shouldn't have watched it. So, 0800 The Edge, what do you regret watching?
For me, I don't know if you've seen a popular clip called Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, no. No.
Something changed inside of me that day when I watched that video.
And it wasn't a meat-based diet.
Well, it was a diet of some description.
Yeah.
It put me off cups for life.
I don't know the cup.
I honestly
cup since.
I can remember where I was. I can remember a blow-by-blow account of that video. I've had to go.
I hope that's fake, that video, because
oh, God,
don't watch
I hope it,
it
is.
Don't
I've
watch
had
it.
To go.
The internet does not need that.
Some intense therapy to get over that clip. Okay, 0800 The Edge. What do you regret watching? Daniel, you're on the air. What was it?
Hey, is the movie Human Centipede.
Oh, I have never seen it, but I've only heard nothing but glowing reviews about the Human Centipede.
Don't do it.
No, I haven't done it, but I don't think I want to do it.
Can you give us the premise of the film?
No, it actually makes me want to dry reach just thinking about it.
Oh, even the plot line makes you want to dry reach.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disgusting.
How do they get stuff like that past the guys, like the movie companies? Well, yeah, great, we'll invest millions of dollars into a movie called The Human Centipede. Love the plot line. Is there a romantic twist at the end, Daniel?
Well, it depends what view you take on it, really.
What do you class as romance?
All right, okay. Now he's got me intrigued. Thank you very much.
I'm kind of curious.
Welcome, Kayla. What do you regret watching, mate?
Black Sheep, the movie. It's a horror movie about sheep. It's like New Zealand based.
Oh, and the sheep attack, don't
That's
they?
Right, the sheep are evil. Yeah, I enjoyed that. Why didn't you like it?
From then, I've just had a fear of sheep.
It's put you off sheep for life.
Oh, hard living in New Zealand too, isn't
yeah,
it?
You are in the wrong country. Ryan, welcome. What do you regret watching?
It's a video on the internet called Eel Soup. It's along the same lines as the Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, God, please don't even eel soup. I can only imagine the twists that come with eel soup. Does it involve actual eels?
Two live eels, two girls.
Hold on, okay, do we need to finish the, like, is it safe to even talk about this?
Yeah, that's probably as far as I'll go with it.
Two live eels, two girls. Okay, we'll stop there.
Okay, please, no more. That's enough. That's too much.
What happens to the
eel? No, don't.
They get fired across the room.
Oh, what, the eels do or the women?
The eels from the woman.
Get fired across the room.
No, Jono's like, don't Google. No,
I don't. Is it, okay, no, compared, no. Compared to the one I mentioned, like, what's worse?
Well, if you're curious, you can always have a look.
Yeah, well, I am. That's the problem. I am curious, everyone. Jono, Ben, and Sharon.